Good morning, everyone. We're going to go over our second question in the catechism this morning. The second question is, what is the chief end of man? The answer, man's chief end, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Our proof text this morning will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 33, and also Psalms chapter 73, verses 25 through 26. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day today, Lord. We pray, Father, that you'd open our hearts and open our minds this morning as we approach your word, Lord. Let us not approach it casually, Lord, but with fear and with reverence. I pray that you'd help me to articulate what you once said this morning, Lord. I pray that you'd open the ears of those who hear it today and that you would draw them closer to yourself. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Our actions and conduct in all areas of our lives are to bring glory to God, or to make him big. We are to be a separate and a peculiar people, a separate people, different from the world. Zealous of good works, we are to walk in humility, love, holiness, and peace. Faith in Christ being our central focus, with the proclamation of the gospel our main goal, looking not to our own profit, but to the profit of others. We'll look this morning at a life bringing glory to God. Would you turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3? And I want to make 3 points in this subheading right here. Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verses 12 through 14. Let's look at a life of humility and love. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. A life of humility and love. Let's look also in the same chapter. Let's look at verses 5 through 10, and let's look at a life of holiness and peace. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. See there a life of holiness and peace. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at a gospel-centered life. 2 Corinthians 5, let's look at verses 17 through 21. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassador for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we see here a gospel-centered life. Let's look at our second proof text this morning in Psalms 73. Psalms 73. Let's look at verses 25 and 26. We're going to see in verse 25 that God is to be our sole desire. And in verse 26, we're going to see that God is to be our strength and portion and our salvation. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Turn over to Psalms 42. See that God is to be our soul's desire. Psalms 42, let's look at verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Turn to Psalm 63. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 here. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Look over at Psalm 62 for our second heading here, that God is to be our strength. Psalm 62, let's look at verses 1 and 2. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Look also at verses 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Turn also to Lamentations chapter 3. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Let's look at verses 22 through 26. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. In our final text this morning, let's look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, let's look at verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Christian, I ask you this morning, have you fallen short of the glory of God in these areas? Do you lack in devotion and service to Christ? Do you lack assurance because of these things? The gospel still pertains to you this morning, saint of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You are dearly loved by our Father, dear child of God, for he is your portion and the lifter of your head. Unbeliever, you who are outside of Christ, I asked you this morning, do you desire Christ? Do you see your sinful state? Do you see your need for a Savior? I implore you this morning, come to Christ, repent, and believe the gospel. I pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want to end this morning by a quote by a great Puritan preacher, Jonathan Edwards. And it's so fitting to this study this morning. God is the highest good of the reasonable creature. The enjoyment of him is our proper and is the only happiness with which our soul can be satisfied. To go to heaven fully to enjoy God is infinitely better than the most pleasant accommodations here, better than fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, or children, or the company of any, or all earthly friends. These are but shadows, but the enjoyment of God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, but God is the fountain. These are but drops, but God is the ocean. Brethren, may we fix our gaze upon the one who is worthy of our devotion and affections. Look not to the gifts in his hands, but to the giver himself, for he is the true gift. Question number two. What is the chief end of man? Answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to go through this catechism again, Lord. I pray that it was a blessing to those who heard it this morning, Lord. I pray that it was a blessing to you, God. As I know, Lord, that your word will go out and it will perform that which you sent it out to perform. Lord, I pray for the time that we have here coming up in Sunday school and the service that we're about to have, Lord. I pray that you'd be upon it. May you be glorified, and I always say and do. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.